leaves us alone. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in word of prayer. Thank you, brothers. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come tonight, Lord, approaching, Lord, this point of the service, Lord, where the breaking of the bread of life, the word, ask, dear God, that you will anoint us in a way, dear God, that you'll be able to speak to the people. Lord, for you are the only one that can lift them up, encourage them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you receive all glory from this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're standing, if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, I want to read from verse 22 to 25. What I want to, I guess, title this tonight is, We Hope for What We See Not. We hope for what we see not. Romans 8, 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Amen. You may be seated. Hope. I looked that up to see in the Greek what it was referring to as hope. And it says a confident expectation. So it's different than the way the world uses hope. They use hope as far as just wishful thinking. But this isn't wishful thinking. This is with confident expectation. Amen. Now, Brother Ram said, we might not see all things, but we see Jesus, who had made in the image of man and to take away the sin of man, to bring man back in reconciliation to God, our Father. And he says he was giving a kind of a call here in this message of looking to the unseen. And he was getting ready to pray, and he was telling the people this was a very important time, and that as he was going to prayer, that if there was any that wanted to that needed Christ in their life, to raise their hand. And they began to tell him, he said that life there, you don't have a promise of tomorrow. And he talked about where just he had saw in a car accident, a boy that had been a young man in a car accident, and said, Brother Ram said, when he saw him, they were putting him on the cot thing for the ambulance. And he said he could see blood running out of the young man's eyes and blood running out of his mouth. And so they took the sheet and just pulled it up over his head before they put him into the ambulance. And Brother Branham said his thought was he ever in one of my meetings? Did I do good enough to point him to Christ? And I thought many times when we hear of different ones that pass away, sometimes it strikes you and you wonder, did they have an opportunity? Or you know they had an opportunity. God gives us all an opportunity. But you wonder, did they, you know, what was their life? What was it like? What did they give their life to Christ? Were they saved? And you wonder at that. And usually when that strikes me is when there's especially a person that you know to be a good person, and as far as you see, but you don't really know him personally. And then you see, but you see maybe even in the news how they act or how they are, and you think when they pass, you think, were they saved? Did they give their life to the Lord? And he was saying, you know, take this opportunity. And he was asking them to raise their hand. They needed Christ in their life. And he said, take this opportunity. He says, because what we're looking to is the unseen, what you can't see. And the thing that they can't see, for instance, is you can't see tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow holds, or even the next day. It's something that's unseen. And so the thing is for us to live our life with expectation of going at any time, whether it be by the way of the grave or whether it be by the rapture, that we're ready. And knowing this, the elect of God, why, you can't go before God's done with you and you're ready anyhow. But also, you're not made perfect without those that are here alive and remain that have to also receive their body change. And we'll gather together then. And you know, that's something we can't see. We talk about it. We talk about the resurrection, but we can't see it. How do we know it's going to happen? It's by faith. By faith, we believe it. Amen. Hebrews, you're familiar with this, said, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith. Amen. It's spiritually, it's tangible. To the natural or physical, it's not tangible. But spiritual, to the spiritual man, it's tangible. It's a substance. And the faith is an evidence of the things that's not seen. And how do we know there is a land beyond the river? Because somebody already went there and came back and raised from the dead and let us know there was a land beyond the river. We can't see the resurrection, but we believe it's going to happen. Right now, we can't see maybe our loved ones that's passed on. We can't see them, but they're not dead. By faith, I know they're not dead. They're in a land beyond here, another dimension. Hallelujah. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. When God said, let there be light, there, that light didn't come about from something that was already there. It was created by God. Nothing was there before he spoke it. We look at it and say, the light of our world is the sun. Well, the sun did not exist until he spoke it into existence. So the things that we can see were made by things which did not appear. It was made by things that could not be seen. Amen. Everything of this earth was by the creation of God. The pews that we sit on, made out of wood from trees. Trees that came about, why? Because of creating the creation, God made trees. The things we use from day to day, materials and things. How do we get our cars to run down the road? Gasoline. Who created gasoline? Who created the oil? Man didn't create the oil. He didn't create the elements which make up gasoline. Those elements were created by God. Hallelujah. The rubber on your tires is made by man, but it's made from natural elements from this earth. And I'll tell you what, one time I had a car and the tires were all wore out on it, and it was just a little two-door car. We couldn't hardly even squeeze our family into it. And the tires were wore out, and I didn't have any money to buy new tires. We barely had money for anything back then. And I prayed and I asked God that he'd make them tires last until I could get new tires on that car. And I went to meet with my dad and some other brothers for a breakfast on a Saturday morning. When I got there, my dad handed me some mail that had come to his house. And it was a check from the Army. Hadn't been out of the Army very long. And it was a check from the Army. I didn't even know I had anything coming to me. But I did, otherwise they wouldn't have sent it. And so the check was enough to buy new tires. And I was happy to have the check. And on the way home, I had a blowout. And I had to take and put that old donut on there, you know, to get it on home. But when I was changing that tire, I was praising God. My father-in-law was with me, and I was just praising God. And I said, thank the Lord. He answered my prayer. He made the tires last until I got the money to buy new ones. Now, the elements that made up that rubber, God created those elements. God, I'm telling you, God is the one that kept them tires together. Why? Simply because one of his own had asked him to and had a need of it. We've got a need of something you may not be able to look and see. Well, it may, from what you see, it may look impossible. But we're looking to the unseen, and we know all things are possible to them that believe. When God spoke to Abraham, told him by Sarah he was going to have a son, Abraham didn't look at Sarah, who by that time had become old and wrinkled and past childbearing. Not only that, but she had been barren her whole life. History says, biblical history says, that she was approximately the age of 17 when her and Abraham got married. And now she was well past the age and had been barren her whole life. But Abraham didn't look at those things. He looked at what God said. And by faith, he saw Isaac. By faith, he saw and claimed the promise of God. He couldn't see it, but he believed it. And believing it brought what was from the unseen. It brought something. It brought about the promise of God. Brother Branham said, God let Abraham have a glimpse of the unseen by faith. Let him have a glimpse of it, not with these eyes, but by faith. He got a glimpse of it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises belong to us. Every promise that he gave, And there are some of those promises that he gave that are things that can be seen. Brother Branham said divine healing is something that can be seen. The evidence of it can be seen. But that's not the only things we possess. That's not the only things that belongs to us. But it's the things that are unseen we also do possess. The things that you can't see, that by God has gave the promise, those things belong to you as well. We can't see how this body is going to change back to a young person again. And you say that to some people, they would think, well, you're crazy. And I think, what, you think I want to spend eternity in this body right here? I do not. I look around. We were eating before we came to church in a little restaurant and just noticed some different ones coming in. And I noticed some of the men coming in and that they had hair. And I got to thinking about when I had hair. And I thought, boy, I wish I had some hair. And I thought, but you know what? One day, I'll be back young again. Hallelujah. And I don't say that for vanity. I say it because, friends, we're going to live forever. Eternal. Amen. Eternal. And we wouldn't be able to live in this body that looked like this, because a perfect body wouldn't look like this. This body is what it is today. As it ages, you age, as you grow older, it changes how you look. It changes different things about you. Why? Because this body is dying. And it's dying because of sin in the garden. It's dying because man partook of the wrong tree. He partook of the only tree God told him not to eat of. And when he did, it brought about death. But praise God, through Jesus Christ, the Bible says we even possess death. Death belongs to us. In other words, death can't do anything except bring you into the presence of God. Death is nothing to fear. It's not anything that can harm you. Brother Branham said it's a vehicle. In another place he said, you know, he says God harnessed up death and said death just pulls you into God's presence. Paul, when he was even going to, was there to get his head cut off, he knew that he was going to be martyred. Paul said, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Because through Jesus Christ, death had no sting left. Through Jesus Christ, the grave had no victory over the elect of God. I like that old song, heard sung when I was growing up. There ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. It's gonna get up out of the ground. I believe that. I believe one day what we can't see will be manifest. Like this, Brother Phil and I, we met each other when we were about 34, 35, something like that. I had no idea what Brother Phil looked like at the age of 18, and Brother Phil had no idea what I looked like at the age of 18, because at the age of 34, we didn't look nothing like 18. We were as bald then as we are now. And I look and see, what did 18 years do to us? 18, 20 years, however many it's been, what it's done to us. Sometimes it does things to your body like that can't be seen with the eye. I got up last night, before I went to sleep, I got up to go take my medicine and go to the restroom, and I got up, felt something wrong with my hip, and I couldn't hardly walk. And I didn't know what it was. Mina said, "What is it?" I said, "It's old age." It's just age on me, because you don't do it all the time, just every once in a while. You can't see it, but well, I'll tell you what, you can feel it. We can't see physically. You know, sometimes we're like Elisha, I believe it was, his servant. When you remember that there was a king that was at war with Israel, and every time he went to do something, why, the king of Israel was always one step ahead of him. And he had a man, he said, "There must be a spy among us, letting him know what we're going to do." But he had a man there and said, "No, it's not a spy." Said, "He's got a man down there they call a prophet, and he tells the king of Israel what you talk about in your bedchambers." Friends, Elisha couldn't see that king or see what he was saying, but there was something, maybe even to the unseen, he was able by faith to look and maybe see a vision. And then tell the king thus and thus. And so that king that was at war with them said he was going to go down there and find that man. And he set his armies down there to find him. And the servant came in and told Elisha, "Why, we're surrounded by him." I believe it was Syria, wasn't it? Said, "We're surrounded by him." And Elisha said, "Fear not, there's more that's with us than there are with them." I think many times we're like his servant. We can't see in that other realm. But by faith, God can allow us to believe, by faith, have an evidence that there are angels in another realm right around us. There is more with us than there are with them. And he prayed and said, "God, open the eyes of this young man and let him see." And God opened his eyes and he saw what before could not be seen. And there was angels and chariots of fire all about them. There's more with us than there are with them. We have been preaching on Sundays about angels. And we said Sunday that angels are around us. There's angels that encourage you when you're in a service and you need to reach out. There'll be an angel. There's an angel there. Brother Branham said, telling you, go ahead, reach out. It belongs to you. Go ahead, reach out. Same time, the devil's there. A demon telling you, nope, it's not for you. It's not for you. Don't listen to that liar. That feeling that you feel that's urging you to take event, to do it, follow that. Follow that. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said in another place, I don't mean to get on Sunday's message, but Brother Branham said in another place, said when somebody gets laid on your heart real heavy, he said it's their angel has come to you to ask for prayer. He said, just pray for that person. Huh. Something you can't see. All of a sudden, you're just laid on your heart real heavy. Oh, and you just keep thinking about that individual, and you have no idea what it is they need. Right. You have no idea why that what it is that they need prayer for. but it just laid on your heart so heavy you just can't get away from it. And you, Brother M said, then just go to prayer for them. Hallelujah. Why? Because there are beings that are unseen to the natural eye, but they're here tonight. And how do I know that? Because by faith, I believe it. Because the Bible said so. The Bible testifies of it. And I believe it. Science, they can't prove it or disprove it. Science couldn't prove whether the promise of God were true or not. But they would say, since it cannot be scientifically proven, then it doesn't exist. But we're not looking to things that can be scientifically proven by man. What kind of science was it that brought rain out of a sky when it had never rained before in the days of Noah? Science at that time looked and said it's never, never, ever water fell from the sky. But there was an angel called Woodworm, and that angel had the key and control over all the waters of the earth. And God sent that angel to bring that rain and to bring that flood. They couldn't see the angel, and they couldn't see what Noah was talking about for 120 years. But Noah built an ark even though he couldn't see the flood. He couldn't see the rain. There was no rain. But Noah built this ark because God had spoken to him and told him, I'm going to cover the world in water. And God gave him instructions on just how to build that ark. And Noah built it by faith. He preached for 120 years, the Bible says, a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he preached about something that couldn't be physically seen. For 120 years, he preached about something that was unseen and said that the unseen was going to come to pass. But when did the people start to believe? When it started raining and they could see it with these natural eyes. But by the time they could see it with these natural eyes, it was done too late. The door had been shut by God. And all that was going to be in that ark were on board. And everything that was not there was going to perish. We talk about the tribulation time. We talk about the horrors of the tribulation time. But you can't see it. You try to tell somebody about it, how many you think you could get to believe you? Try to tell them that there's going to be great big balls of hell falling out of the skies. Tell them, they say, well, I believe that. Well, tell them some of them's going to weigh about 100 pounds, see if they believe that. See if they believe that people's going to see grasshoppers as tall as trees. But one day, they'll see. And by the time they see, it'll be done too late. It'll be too late by then. You tell them about a rapture. Friends, this is the thing. I want you to understand this. when the resurrection happens and when we receive our body change, we will be able to move about, but we will be unseen by this world. We will be there with our loved ones here, reuniting with them on earth before we go to meet Jesus in the sky. We'll be uniting with them here, but we'll be unseen to the people of the world. Amen. And I think about it. Often, and sometimes I think, what will some of the people I know, what are they going to think when I can't be found no more? What about some of the people I love here on this earth? What are they going to think? And I think about some of them that I know are saved, but they're not in the bride. And I think, what are they going to think when all that starts taking place and they realize the rapture took place without them? There's many of them believe in a rapture. Right. Oh, my heart just goes out. Amen. I would to God I could open their eyes to the truth. But they can't see it. You say, how can they can't see it? Because there's things that blinds their eyes. I had a relative of mine tell me, said they knew of a Branham group that was not far from where they lived. And said, yeah, there's a people, there is a group that gathers and they believe in William Branham. I'd never heard of them. I never know there was any group around that area. Would come to find out, there was. But also come to find out, they ain't got no pastor. Things like that blind people. People that go around, like many done in this message from the time I was young, they go around and they were just all the time writing people off. Well, this one ain't going to make it, that one ain't going to make it. I'll tell you what, if you don't believe what I believe, you're gone. You got to come this way. You got to come to this church. You present things like that to people, you make them thirsty, you drive them away. You don't say those things. Just talk about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you in your life. That should be your testimony. What Jesus has done for you in your life. And that, my friends, will make those that thirst want to come and get a drink of the same water. They'll want a drink of the same Lord Jesus that you have supped from. Hallelujah. They'll want to come and suckle from the breasts of El Shaddai. Hallelujah. Some that knew you, perhaps, when you weren't living right, they notice a change in your life. They see there's a difference. Many times they'll ask you, what happened? What happened to you? Well, take that opportunity to tell them. Hey, man, take that opportunity to tell them. I got saved. And I've been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I'm getting ready to leave this world. There's a rapture coming. Hallelujah. We can look at Israel. And we can see God's timepiece. That's something you can see. But there's many don't realize that. They don't realize that as things begin to move in Israel, it shows you how late we're getting. There is many, I forget how many was, countries that are thinking Israel should go back to the borders they had before 1968. In other words, give up Palestine. Israel ain't going to do that. Why? Because that land belongs to them. It was given to them by God. And they know it. All the other countries and nations around, they might not be able to see it, but Israel sees it. Amen. They believe it. Say, well, they wasn't around in the days when God gave that promise. No, but they believe that promise. And they've got an evidence of it because they're living in the evidence of it. There was a time when we know Joshua and Caleb, after the promise of this land that they were going to have, flowing with milk and honey, the promised land, Joshua and Caleb crossed over the river along with eight others. And they went over, but Joshua and Caleb came back with evidence that that land was there. They came back with evidence that it flowed with milk and honey. The other eight came back with evidence that it flowed with milk and honey. But they said, we can't take it. Why? Because they was looking at the things they could see. They saw the giants. And they saw the number of the inhabitants of that land. And they knew those people weren't just going to move aside and say, oh, okay, well, you can have it. And they said, we're not able to take it. Joshua and Caleb said, we're more than able. Why? Because God gave the promise. Hallelujah. And they were looking to the unseen. What was the unseen? The promise of God. That God had promised Abraham. But those people that were looking at what they could see, the giants and the inhabitants of the land and all the things that they thought would be withstanding them, the people that believed that report, they never got to see the land. They never got to see what was unseen. But there was another generation that raised up and was led by Joshua, and they crossed over and began to take the land. They took possession. Listen, friends, when they crossed over, Joshua and Caleb had brought back evidence. But that the evidence that was brought was showing to the generation that was going to pass away. So the other generation that came up, they had to accept it by faith. Because the generation that actually seen the tangible evidence, they wouldn't believe and they passed away. But by faith, that next generation crossed over and said, we believe it's flowing with milk and honey. We believe that it belongs to us. And I often think sometimes we as humans will look for the easier path. That's sometimes our human nature. Find a path of least resistance. But when Caleb crossed over, he didn't. He said, you know that mountain over there? It's got all them giants on it. That's my mountain. I'm taking that. Amen. What was he looking to? The promise of God that he would have the victory. He wasn't looking at the size of those men.
He wasn't looking at their strength. He wasn't looking at God. He said, has given us this. That's my mountain. Hallelujah. And he knew he'd be able to defeat them all, because why? That mountain didn't belong to them. They were squatters. That land had been given to Abraham. That land was meant for Israel. And I'll tell you something, friends. I don't know what's going to happen. All these nations that are against Israel, thinking that those borders are to be changed and all that, I don't know what's going to take place. But I can tell you this, as they move against Israel, they will not be able to touch Israel. They won't be able to harm Israel. They'll not be able to wipe her off. She's a small nation, but she's got God standing behind her. Because that's God's people. That's God's chosen people. And when they go to messing with Israel, they're messing with God. Israel's able to deal with terrorists in ways that they deal with them, in ways that the Americas won't, because they want to be so politically correct. And so we have problems. They asked Israel, said, how is it that you don't have these problems with people coming in and you not be able, says, because we profile. Because we profile. You look like a terrorist, you're going to be investigated to see if you are. Where you say you're from? Okay, we're going to see if you're a terrorist or not. I imagine with that kind of thing, there ain't too many that want to go into Israel. But America's wide open. They come up with tighter and tighter and more security on these flights and airplanes and everything else through all their security. It ain't going to stop it. That's why America's became so ignorant. Some of the people have become so ignorant that now we're getting homegrown terrorists. People that are converting. And they're not just converting to another religion, they're converting to become a terrorist. They want to become part of ISIS. And they look like me and you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:18 said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This pulpit is temporal. It's temporal. This pulpit will pass away. This building we're in is temporal. But there is a dimension that Paul talked about. He said, whether I was in the body or whether I was not, I was caught up into the third heaven. He said, and I was caught up into paradise. Hallelujah. Something that can't be seen. Those dimensions, we can't see them with our human eyes. One day, friends, you receive that body change, you're all going to receive a vision change. They talk about these surgeries they can give you so you don't never have to wear glasses again. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a surgical hand that's going to move that day, and you'll be able to see and actually walk in another dimension. Oh, I'm looking forward to that, friends. I'm so looking forward to that. Brother Branham, in the message, Believest Thou This, he talked about Elizabeth. And when God had come down and spoke and told him that this barren woman, Elizabeth, who was barren, was going to have a child. And remember, her husband Zachariah, he didn't believe it. And God, the angel said, his name is going to be John. And Zacharias didn't believe it. And so the angel shut his mouth to where he couldn't speak a word. Elizabeth believed it and claimed it, even though there was no sign of it. Even though that what could be seen was she had always been barren. Other words, it seemed like she was incapable of having children. But when the angel spoke to her, she believed it. And said, Brother Ram said, she went right around telling everybody she was going to have the baby. And wasn't no sign or nothing of it. She didn't have any signs. Only thing she had to have was God's word. And that's all we have to have. God said so, and that settles it with me. What about you? Believe it. Take him at his word and say so. And go ahead. That's all you have is his word. Bound to bring it forth. You believe it, brother? Stay with it. Hallelujah. That's right. Stay with it. It'll bring the results every time. I've never seen it fail. When a true heart come before God and meant business and took God at his word and started testifying of it and looking to the unseen, then God's promises always produce what is asked for. And when the baby was born, I said, what are we going to name him? And then Zacharias' mouth came open. He says, name it John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, friends, I tell you what, there's so many things we believe in. There's so many things we believe that can't be seen with these natural eyes. And yet they are more real than what we can see with these natural eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'll tell you what I'm looking forward. I am looking forward to the resurrection. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward. Amen. I think I'm looking more forward to the resurrection than I even am the body change. There's some folks I want to see again. And I know I'm going to. And I long for it, wait for it. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, you spoke these things to us tonight, Lord. And I believe, Lord, a very encouraging word was spoke to us, Lord. Lord, a positive message, Lord. Father, that strengthens us, should strengthen our faith. Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, We are longing, dear God, for those things which do not yet appear. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible said, all creation groaneth, but we ourselves also groan within ourselves, waiting for the redemption, to wit, the body change. Lord, we're looking forward to your coming, Lord. We're looking forward to being caught up to meet you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. You're something that can't be seen, but we know you are. Hallelujah. You are the I am. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. I pray, dear God, bless your people tonight, Lord. Be with them, Lord. And I pray, God, that you'll watch over them over the next couple of days until we come back to meet again here in your house. Lord, we look forward to meeting with you again, Lord, hearing from your word. Hallelujah. Lord, as we're getting ready to close out this service tonight, Lord, I ask, Lord, a special prayer for Brother Neil. Lord Jesus, for his wife, I know it's tough being the caretaker many times and watching your spouse go through these hard times. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch them both, encourage them, and heal Brother Neil. Lord, we miss him, God, and we long to see him back in the presence here again, present in the assembly. Lord Jesus, touch him and heal him, God, and bring him back, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Sing up beside the fall of Jesus.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me. The world's behind me. The cross before me. Decided to follow Jesus.